most part, we ignore the vibrations with the communication from the soil. And the soil out there, this broken up rock that supports all kinds of life forms, including us, is in touch with us every minute. And we're busy ignoring it because we can. We can ignore it because it takes care of us. It's mom. It's Mother Earth. It's mom. And it takes care of it. And we're used to finding breakfast ready, as it were. Well, I just wanted to start out by just suggesting that we have a great opportunity as human beings to become aware of the soil for no purpose at all, just to enjoy it. Well, right now I want to give you each everybody in the room a musical bouquet. These aren't real, but imagine that they are real. Anyhow, if somebody wants to decorate the dining table, they can say, hey, Francis, would you go out and take this pair of scissors to the flower bed and bring us in a bouquet of flowers? So I go out and I detach the flowers from where they're growing, cut them off and bring them in to where we can enjoy them. That's the kind of bouquet we're used to thinking is a bouquet. But that's not the only kind of bouquet there is. There's such a thing as an autumn leaf bouquet. In the autumn, the leaves are falling off the trees and they're gorgeous. Each leaf is worth keeping. And I've got an old telephone directory just full of leaves that I've pressed. They're just too beautiful to just allow to be scuffed around and broken up. Of course, if they weren't broken up and chewed up by lots of little organisms that are in the soil, we would be drowned in leaves. So I'm I can see that for the purpose of continuation of life, they have to be broken up. But autumn leaf, you can make an autumn leaf bouquet. You can pick up some of these beautiful leaves from the lawn, and you can stick them in a little vase, and you've got yourself an autumn leaf bouquet. Some people like grass bouquets. The seed stalks are so beautiful, plumes. But I gave you each a musical bouquet. Well, now that's a different kind of bouquet. It's not one you can see. You can hear it. The question is that really a musical bouquet? You can define a bouquet as a bunch or a collection of beautiful items that have been detached from their source of origin and brought into the room where we can enjoy them. Now, where did these notes originate? Well, they didn't originate in a flower bed. They originated in the violin. Don't you believe? Most people will agree that those notes that made that bouquet that I gave you originated in the violin. Now, the question is, did they get detached? Now, I'm looking in the violin. There's an F hole. I'm trying to see, did those notes get out of the violin, or are they still in there? I've been playing the violin for about 70 years. Have all the notes that I've been playing, have they been piling up inside the violin? Are they prisoners in there? Well, of course, it doesn't do me any good to look because you can't see a note. You can hear it, but you can't see it. For all I know, a note doesn't take up any space. We're dealing with something really different, but I will argue that those notes came right out of the violin, and the first thing they did was to rush to find a pair of ears. And if there are 10 people in the room, then there are 10 pairs of ears, and there are notes enough to find them. If there are 1,000 people, you know, you could just be sure that the notes find the ears of people. So in that sense, they became detached from their source of origin, and I brought this all in where we can enjoy them indoors. So there is such a thing as a musical bouquet. Well, why am I talking like this? I'm supposed to be talking about soil. Well, I am. You know, Without the soil, would there be any flowers? I hate to ask such a question, because everybody I've ever asked that question says, of course there would be no flowers if there were no soil. No soil, because the plants that produce the flowers have to be rooted in soil, or they can't become mature enough to produce the flowers. The same thing with the autumn leaf bouquets. No trees to have leaves fall off of, you'd never pick up leaves, nor grass bouquets. How about this musical bouquet I just gave you? What's this thing made of? The violin itself is made of wood. That means there had to have been a tree. That means there has to have been a soil with the tree rooted in, or there wouldn't have been any violin here. And then, what's this white stuff? Well, it's surprising that most people still tell me it's hair from a horse's tail. Whereas some people who have never seen a horse in our culture now, yet they know that's a hair from a horse's tail. There are a lot of people in the cities that don't even know that though. Well, I couldn't play the violin if there hadn't been a horse around somewhere. And if there's horse around, it had to have corn and alfalfa, hay and so forth, all oats to eat. I mean, I'm naming a lot of plants that have to root in the soil. Without them, no horse alive, no horse's tail, no musical bouquet. Well, and there wouldn't be any of us. Now we, you know, if you use this definition for a bouquet, we are a human bouquet. We have come detached from our sources of origin, different apartments, different homes, kids here at the school building or wherever we are. We are a human bouquet. Without the soil, we wouldn't be here, because we depend on eating products that come from plants or from animals that eat the plants. So, if anything is important, and a lot of things are important in our environment, the soil is important, and it's very much neglected. I just think that's too bad. And I want, in my house, I want to have a soil bouquet made up of beautiful items detached from the soil. I don't suppose there are very many people here who have ever seen a soil bouquet. You'd have to go out and take a walk on the soil, and you'd have to find some particles. Now, I have brought along a soil bouquet, just in case you didn't have one. You see, there it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 globules of soil, which I picked up off of the ground. I went down on the lower campus between the Historical Society and the Memorial Library, and on an April morning, and there the earthworms were coming up after their long winter's nap, and they were leaving along the sidewalk where people's walking had made the grass so it didn't cover them up, leaving these earthworm casts that they, in other words, as the earthworms had come up to the soil the day or two before I picked these up, they were eating their way through the soil. Certain earthworms love to eat the soil. And when they get to the surface, they give the greatest gift they can give, which is the soil that they've been eating. These are the earthworm casts. Well, they didn't have any stems, so I couldn't put them in a vase. But they're beautiful items detached. Now, do you think they're beautiful? When I first saw them, I didn't think of them as beautiful. But these things make plants and animals and people possible. Anything that makes plants and animals and people possible must be beautiful. And if I didn't recognize them as beautiful, it's my seeing that has to be corrected. It's not the fault of the earthworms for not producing something beautiful. Earthworm casts are beautiful and produce conditions that allow greater beauty to happen. Well, so here's what I call a soil bouquet. It's an exhibit of beautiful items of soil detached from the source of origin, which was along the sidewalk where the earthworms were coming up. And I've drawn some pictures of earthworms, and I've written a poem. The earthworm stirs and makes its cast. By this we know it's spring at last. Well, that's what I call a very simple act of saluting the soil on a morning when we're just raving about the flowers, the crab apples are in bloom, isn't this wonderful? Well, how about recognizing that the soil makes those things possible? How about that? In a very simple way. So when I'm at home and I have a flower bouquet, beside it, I would like to have my soil bouquet, because I have to be corrected. I'm a human being. I take mom for granted, the soil, Mother Earth for granted. How about being aware of Mother Earth and saying, thanks. Thanks ever so much for all you're doing, Mom. So here I have a more complete picture that helps me see a more complete world. Incidentally, when I was collecting those earthworm casts, I was down in an old raincoat. I told you it was an April morning, I think, and it was a drizzly April morning, and I was picking up these earthworm casts, putting them in a paper bag, and a young woman student came along going between the Historical Society and the Memorial Library, and she stopped dead still when she saw me, and from what she said a little bit later, she saw a poor man, a bad man maybe, didn't have breakfast. What was he going to do? What is this? She hadn't figured it all out, but her heart went out to me, and she said, could you use a dollar? Well, I'd never been addressed that way. I said, well, I'm picking up these earthworm casts, but there was no sign on her face that meant anything. And so I explained how spring's coming, it's getting warmer. Well, she wasn't quite sure it was warm yet. I said, I don't need a dollar. Thank you. So she went on to the library. But I'm telling you, there are 40,000 students in university. If I ever get really hard up for money, I'm not saying I'd make $40,000 in a day. In fact, I think there might be an inspector sent out to check on what I was doing there if I started collecting money. As soon as you collect money, then the IRS wants to know whether it's from a soil bouquet materials or not. So she walked on to the library, and I had turned down the proffered gift. Do you know anybody well enough to make a soil bouquet and give him a soil bouquet for their birthday? Do you know somebody who wouldn't throw it in a wastebasket? Do you know somebody who cares that much? Who's open? His heart is open to the realm of the soil. Well, these are very cheap. They're biodegradable. You know, it wouldn't cost you very much. It would just cost you to reach out to this entity that gives you life. Well, I thought maybe that's the only soil bouquet in the world. But I was walking down a sidewalk in a city park, the Harris Place, one May, and the sun was shining on the sidewalk, which had been cold all winter, and I saw something that hadn't been there the week before. I saw a little brown patch of soil in the crack in the sidewalk. Have you ever noticed that? So I went home and I got a piece of white paper. I felt like shouting all the way home, hey, a neighbor's child! But then I thought they might consider me just a bit deranged. Well, so what I did was put some transparent glue at each corner of the paper, pressed each corner in turn down on one of those patches of sandy soil at the crack in the sidewalk. So I had four of them. And then I drew a picture of the ant full scale, and then I put a reading glass to enlarge it. And I wrote a poem as before, sand-toting ants made each ring as theirs response to sunny spring. So now I've got two different kinds. You see, creatures that live in the soil and therefore are speaking for the soil, are acting for the soil, are giving evidence that the soil is at work. So here I have two different kinds of soil bouquets. It's just, you know, there's so much waiting there to be. Now kids love this, and then adults who have still preserved a corner in themselves for the kid are interested in this kind of experience that we can all have. Incidentally, anybody know what that is supposed to be like?
Watermelon?
Yeah, it's a plug out of a watermelon. And I just to show that, see, it has a green layer, white layer, and a red layer with some black things in it. I generally show this life-size replica of a plug of watermelon taken out of a watermelon because I want people to know that that's how we classify soils. We take an auger, an implement, we take the soil down, only probably it's a depth of 3, 4, 5 feet. And in that depth of 3 or 4 or 5 feet, there'll be various layers. Usually there's a layer of leaves on top, and then there may be a layer of dark black soil or very dark brown soil, and then you get into paler brown soil. Every kind of soil has its own special layering, And we call this a soil profile or soil, I call it a soil plug. That's how we classify soil. So once you get into this business of classifying soils, you can go all over the world with an auger, and people, it's like meeting somebody with a butterfly net. Well, what do you do? Oh, I'd be interested in that. I understand that when the Nazis were trying to kill as many enemies of Germany as possible, they came upon a Russian man who had a butterfly net. And he charmed them. The Nazis didn't, well, they let him go. He was just a butterfly collector. But when you're a natural scientist of some sort, whether you go for bird walks or soil walks or what do you go for, you can charm people because you're relaxing their rigidities, if they have any, and they're going to be approachable. Well, as I say, I'll do anything for the soil. This is a soil badge. And one person in a group I was talking to said, you'll do anything for soil? Would you die for the soil? I said, that's exactly what I plan to do. now this has, you know, like most badges, have ribbons, but these are not ribbons. These are miniature pictures of four different plugs taken out, four different kinds of soils. And this represents about 4 feet. Number one is a young soil. It has leaf litter. It has humus, dark layer. And then the rest of it, the sort of yellowish, is geologic material that has not had a chance to respond to the vegetation and the animals, hasn't turned into soil yet. But it will with time, because soils get deeper with time. Number two, it represents a plug in miniature taken out of a soil that was under forest. It has a leaf litter, it has a humus layer, it has a bleached white layer, that's quartz sand, then it has clay accumulation in the subsoil, and then you reach the part that's not turned into soil yet. Give it a few centuries and it'll be deeper. Here's the third one, is a prairie soil with the leaf litter, grass litter, then maybe two feet of dark soil, and then there's clay accumulation, and then the part that has not yet become soil. And here's a wetland soil, cattail litter, a dark humus layer, and then a kind of a bluish gray subsoil with patches of iron, rusty. But the other part of the badge is my soil badge, and my soil name is Francis H. Loam. Now, loam is an English word meaning a mixture of sand, which is gritty silt, which feels like flour that you bake bread with, and sticky clay, and then humus, which is this dark stuff. Loam is an English word meaning a mixture of all four things. So my name is Francis H. Loam, and your name could be, you just add Loam to your name and you've got it. And if we went around, if we could get a grant from the Republican Congress to send us around the world, we could shake hands with every human being on the earth and give them a badge. And they would join the Loam family. And we'd find that we had lots of common, and we'd want to take care of this loam. Well, I carry on. I don't know how much more you want. I could, for example, here's one way I talk about the. Something on the violin. Walt Whitman, the great American poet, said, "The press of my foot to the earth springs 100 affections." Now that's a real Whitman statement. The press of my foot to the earth springs 100 affections. He didn't say, "Press of my foot to the earth." Well, sometimes it's really icky and dirty and disgusting, but sometimes it's pretty nice. No, he says it's 100%. A good experience, the press of my foot to the earth, springs 100 affections. He doesn't say which way the affections are going, whether it's from the person radiating down through his soles of the feet into the soil, I love you, you love me, or whether it's the affections from the soil coming up through the person's soles of the feet. The soles of the feet were specially made for the human being to interact with the soil.
certainly the nose, because the nose was not made to interact with the soil, nor the elbow, but the soles of the feet. And they are very, very much ignored, the soles of the feet. But Walt Whitman adds this line of poetry to one I told you already. The press of my foot to the earth brings 100 affections. They scorn the best I can do to relate them. Those affections scorn any attempts that I, the poet Whitman, try to make to retell, to describe to people what those affections feel like. If they're so beautiful, I'd like to be able to write a poem saying, this is what those affections are like that I feel pouring up to from the soil that's supporting me at this moment. No. He says, they scorn the best I can do to relate them. So after having said, the press of my foot to the earth springs 100 affections, and he says it's impossible. Impossible. Did it say anything more? So I was just wondering if here we could carry on a little quick experiment of using some of Johann Sebastian Bach's music. Maybe that could do something that words can't do. So let's try the experiment. That's a line of music by Bach, in case you didn't notice it. How am I doing? You see, what I'm trying to do is make a musical symbol, and if you're becoming a little bit irritated about the monotony of it, just know that I'm trying to do a great experiment. I'm trying to make a musical symbol that expresses what it's like to press one foot to the earth and another to the earth. Now, see, if I did that long enough, I could drive everybody out of the room. They'd say, well, I have to go to the post office. They're trying to be polite. I have to go to the grocery. I don't know why people resist this oppressing the foot to the earth. Now, I've got in my breast here a heart, and it's going thump, 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 thump. It never occurs to me to scold it and say, you dummy, you've been doing that for 82 years. Can't you think of something creative? No, no. I give it every encouragement I can get. Go ahead, thump, thump. But when it comes to trying to make a symbol for pressing my foot to the earth, that drives people up the wall. But the people who have this heart that doesn't drive them up the wall, but it gives them life. I just think that when Walt Whitman said, the press of my foot to the earth brings 100 affections, he was talking about feeling life come through the feet. Well, there is a barrier between me and the soles of my feet. Me being the head up here, which is as far away from the soil as I can get and still be in me. So I'm the part of the body that should know the least, really, experientially, know the least about soil. And up here, I'm not in a position to learn from my feet because I'm up on top. Suppose that I take a walk on a beautiful spring day. What is the music like? Well, it's like this. Isn't that a dandy little ditty? Now the head enemy says, whoo, whoopee. Now that's what I call music. And if you want to talk about taking a soil walk, that's what I think you should be playing. Well, I said, if you like that, then you should hear that. That's the walking tune of Bach. But Bach also has the environmental tune, which describes the landscape in which the person is walking. Landscape is like to which the walker is walking. But those two things happen at the same time. The person walking and the environment loving it. But playing at the same time. They happen at the same time.
head is ecstatic, because that is beautiful music that Bach wrote. And says, that was a good experiment, Francis. Thank you very much for doing that. You pointed out that what Whitman couldn't do with poetry, you helped Bach have done with music. Thanks a lot. But then the feet say, did somebody forget about me? Somebody forget about me? I'm usually suppressed. I'm usually not listened to. Is this going to be a chance when I can be heard too? Well, so why don't we give the feet a chance to have their symbol? The one that we rejected a little while ago. You notice that Bach puts grounding tones in many of his works, or organ or whatnot. That's down at the bottom, and he doesn't neglect it. He lets the feet be heard. A lot of songs. Great Lakes region, fertile land, glaciers spread both clay and sand. Winds blew silt, then forest grew, giving soils their brownish hue. Second verse. Great Lakes region, fertile land, you strengthen us in heart and hand. Each slope, each flower, each wild bird call proclaims a unity in all. Third verse. Antigo, a soil to know, Wisconsin's crops and livestock grow. And forests too, on Antigo, and forests too, on Antigo. Fourth verse. Plant a seed and pull a weed, the soil will give us all we need, and plenty more, so birds may feed, and plenty more, so birds may feed. Fifth one. Of all the crops, true peace is tops. Its soil is love that never stops. It blesses sand and water drops. It blesses sand and water drops. Now, all those five verses, the middle one, Antigo. Soil to know. That's the one that's usually used. But there are these other verses. In fact, right after the Daniels alone was signed into being the official state's soil by Governor Earle, September 9th, 1983, a lot of people would write into the Soil Survey or the Geological National History Survey and want to have a sample of Daniels alone and the words and the music to the song. But I noticed that the office was not sending out the complete set of words. He admitted the one, of all the crops, true peace is tops. Its soil is love, it never stops. It blesses sand and water drops. And I think it was embarrassing to them because the Soils Department staff, what a wonderful staff, you wouldn't mix science, soil science, with stuff about crops and love, would you? I think there was somebody who said, well, better just dump them. Now, to me, that goes again to show the block that can even develop even on this marvelous campus between the human heart and the human head. There's that we like it. We really like it when staff members who are called professors, etc., really speak with the whole person. That really is quite something, and people will go to hear it. Who's allowing that to happen? But to see that staff at the Soros just couldn't send that out. That was, that didn't sound like the sauce department. So I've got quite a number of songs, the rock, rock song, Where Have All the Bedrocks Gone, Gone, the soil song, Where Are the Roots of Trees, Oh, Give Me a Home and a Deep Mellow Loam, You're My Soil, My Only Soil, This Our Life Finds Tongues and Trees, 'Tis a Gift to Have Soil, 'Tis a Gift to Have Land, 'Tis a Gift to Belong to the Soil, the Place Whereon We Stand, a Rainbow of Soils, Inch by Inch, Age by Age, the soil is in four seasons. Some think soil is dirt, wet, mud, and flowers. Darkle, yeah, for example, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, I wonder what you are, up above the world so high like a diamond in the sky, is a famous little rhyme to which many of us, was read to many of us as we were growing up. But there's no similar verse about the soil, which again shows this problem. We're too close to the soil, we're too close to mom, and we don't want to. We want to admire the stars from light years away, but not say what's due to the soil. So I've got this little song I've written. Darkle, darkle, little grain, I wonder how you entertain 1,000 creatures microscopic. Grains like you from pole to tropic support land life upon this planet. I marvel at you, crumb of granite. It seems to me that a little kid, not understanding a word that's said, would just love the sound of that.
Yeah.
And it would also be a step toward bringing the human race into a good relationship to the soil. Well, I've got a favorite one here. Our life finds tongues in trees, books in brooks that read with ease, sermons in stone, and soils that sing, something good in everything. One great good beneath our feet is wondrous earth, clay, sand, and peat, with roots of plants in firm embrace. The soil supports the human race. In myself are intertwined, flesh and spirit well inclined. Dust I am with gift of breath. I feel safe in life and death.
On that note, we end this most interesting and unusual interview.